faithful. Brother Boyd was reading, and he said that word nevertheless. Yeah. They some words, I don't know, a lot of people study different ways. Sometimes it's good if you do a word study, where you find a word, a certain word, and that nevertheless will wear you out.
Yeah.
If you read it, right when things are bad, nevertheless, here he is, over and over and over again. I'm glad. All right. Y'all all right? Well, we're going to give you some thoughts this morning. Now, we'll do our best to encourage you this morning. Now, sometimes to encourage you, you've got to put forth some effort to be encouraged. You never know how good a cake is if you don't eat it. All right? Sometimes you got to eat what is made for you. And we find ourselves, we got a whole library, Brother Rick told us this morning, in our Bible. But if we're honest, we don't use our Bible to help us. We read our Bible because maybe we're commanded to read our Bible. We read our Bible to thinking that's okay, that's all I need to do. Well, applying the Bible is... you can read the directions all you want, but if you don't do what the directions say, it ain't going to benefit you. You understand? You got to do it. All right? Does everybody understand what I'm telling you? I mean, we can read all over forever at God sent his son to die, but until you trust him, you'll go to hell. You understand that? Now, the fact still is that he died for us and buried and rose again. That's the fact. But if you don't trust it, you'll go to hell. Well, the rest of the Bible is the same way. It's written for us. But if we don't go by it, then we're just going to sit and wonder. Now, we ought to sit and wonder, but we ought to wonder at his goodness and greatness and be amazed. But we shouldn't wonder if he's going to help me, or wonder if he's going to answer a prayer, or wonder if he's going to be faithful, or wonder if he's going to come through, because that is all true. Are you all right with that? So I'm going to try to help us this morning. And coming fully alive is not just a theme. It ought to be our desire. And my desire for this church and for you, for everybody in it, that we come fully alive before this year's done. We got a lot to do. All right? Everybody all right? Let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. You're wonderful and great. And Lord, I can't thank you enough. I will one day. I'll be able to give you the praise you deserve. But until then, thank you, thank you, thank you for it all. Lord, cleanse me. I'm filthy. I'm dirty. I'm a wretch. Cleanse me. Use me as you see fit. Preach me as you see fit. Teach us as you see fit. Lead us as you see fit. Lord, speak to us as you want to speak to us. And use me again as you want me to be used today. And may we go from this place being fully alive for the rest of our time here. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. All right. I'm hung up. Always hung up on the first one. John 10:10, that's our theme verse, all right? And we're gonna go through some of this. If I talk too fast and you don't understand it, please say, slow down, all right? Because I'm right excited and I'm going to talk fast. I just have a feeling, all right? John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, speaking of the enemy, the devil. This is Jesus speaking of our adversary. Now, let me go ahead and stop right there. Brother Rick Vance sent me something that was so true, and I want to pass it along. Everybody look at me. Don't look at your Bible. Don't look at me and listen to this truth. Satan and God are not opposites.
Right.
Satan and Michael the Archangel are opposites.
Amen. That's right.
God is above all of that.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Let me tell you again now.
Yes.
Satan and God are not opposites. In power, not in, Satan is an opposite to Michael the Archangel, a created cherubim.
Yep.
God's above all that. He has no opposite. He has no equal. There's nobody greater than our God. All right? Everybody got that? So when we think about the enemy, he's already a defeated foe.
Amen.
All right? He's not gambling for our soul.
That's right.
God not dickering with him. No deals being made. Everybody understand that? God's up here and the devil down here.
Amen.
Everybody all right with that? Now let's go on. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all he's about. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord gives life and he gives life more abundantly. All right? More than you can use up. More than you can imagine. More than you can explain. It's more and more and more. Abundantly is in large quantities, plentifully, extremely, exuberantly. The words just keep on and on. The life that the Lord gives is great and he wants you to enjoy all of it. He doesn't give it to you. You understand it? It ain't something you got to go get. He done done it. You have it. If you're saved this morning, he's already given you abundant life. I am come that they might have life and have it more. You already have it. I don't know that you're getting at that. I would think it would be more response that you understood that you had abundant life. I mean, I see that you're alive to a point. You got a pulse. We're working on that fully. We're working on you having a good heartbeat. All right? This coming fully alive is the victorious life in Christ.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about living in victory. Does everybody understand that? It's the life of victory from the cross to the crown.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? Let's talk to me now. Although we die at Calvary, we are not defeated there.
Right. No.
Getting saved is not a punishment.
Right.
Amen.
You understand that? Dying to the world ain't a punishment. It's a blessing. Right? Huh? Christ died there on the cross victorious as our Redeemer. We come to Calvary in faith believing and die there to be raised up in newness of life victorious. Think about that. Thank you, Aaliyah. Thank you. All right, keep it up, girl. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live.
Yeah.
I'm crucified with Christ, dead. Nevertheless I live, alive.
Yeah.
All right? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, abundant, fully. How about that, huh? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We've got to understand we've got victory now. When we sing victory in Jesus, it don't say, there'll be victory in Jesus when I get... We know I've got victory now. Huh? I ain't holding on. I'm eternally secure in Christ Jesus. I'm not holding on. I'm not working to get there. I'm not hoping it pans out. For I'm born into the family of God by the blood of Christ, redeemed for time and eternity, given eternal life now. I've got victory now. Huh? And if you're saved, you do.
Amen.
And you say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you're wrong.
Right.
He only gives one. He gives eternal life, and that's it. We're seeing Lazarus dead. That's where we've been preaching that last few weeks. Did he live? We've been dead, but we're alive in Christ. And I can't stress enough, now it's a life of victory. Huh?
Yes.
I don't know that we've ever got a handle on that. We're wondering if we're going to win. Listen, I'm not excited about tomorrow, and I'm not sad about tomorrow. But it has nothing to do with my victory.
Amen. That's right.
My victory's in Christ. We okay? Now, so often we have life, but we're bound. And we must be set free. There's three commands at the tomb of Lazarus. If you read there in John chapter 11, where we've been preaching from, our theme verse is John chapter 10, but in John 11, there's three commands there at the tomb. If you look at it, take away the stone, Lazarus come forth, and loose him and let him go. That's the three commands there around Lazarus and the grave. Everybody understand that? Now hang with me now. And I want to deal with the first part of the last command where it says loose him. We need to be loose this morning. See, I think we're bound. See, you're a little uptight. You're a little bound. And I can tell that when we sing about heaven and victory and faithfulness. You're a little, you got it in you and you want to turn loose, but you know you won't. You wanna holler, but you don't. You're a little bound. Your heart starts beating fast. Boy, it's good, it's good.
Yes.
Bite your tongue from hollering amen, glory, hallelujah. It'll move your tears. You start to cry. We're bound. We are. You're bound up. It ain't that ain't God a blessing.
Right.
It ain't that his word ain't true. It's just your word is bound up. Now, whether you're afraid of somebody or you got some pet sins you're hiding or you just got a burr up your backside, I don't know. But it ain't got nothing to do with the Lord.
That's right.
Huh? But we need to be loose. All right? John 11, 43 and 44 says, And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus, come forth!
Yeah.
Huh? That's why I hollered at y'all.
Yeah.
Me. Hey, come on!
Right.
Come on! Huh? And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Huh? So we're going to deal with that loose him. All right, getting rid of the grave clothes. We're going to preach to you this morning just for a minute. Getting rid of the grave clothes. All right? Everybody all right? Smelly and rotten grave clothes. Grave clothes, your grave clothes are the disposable part of your sinful life. Disposable. I mean, you ought to pitch them in the trash. Everybody all right? They're your bad habits. Your damaged self-images. Huh? So we can preach on each one of these here. Huh? How about your crippling fear? Huh?
Yes.
Now, I want everybody to look at me. We got some big men in this church. It's yellow. We got some big bodied guys. Got a yellow streak. Yeah. It was crippling fear. We're afraid we're going to fail. Afraid we can't. That ain't a man that walks on earth that we're afraid of. No. Not that kind of fear. Some might be afraid of their wife, but not really. No, we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of things in that nature. Are you following me? Talk to me now. Don't get mad at me now. Huh? rebellious attitudes. We all just line up and take a number there.
That's right.
How about sickening appetites for the world? Huh? Addictions. We always talk about addicts being with dope or drink. But that's not true. There's a lot of things we're addicted to that cause us issues with the Lord. We all right? All these keep us from enjoying the freedom and the victory Christ won for us on the cross. Think about that. We still okay?
Yes.
Don't get mad at me now. Picture yourself like Lazarus. Alive, but unable to enjoy life. Alive, but unable to enjoy worship. Alive, but unable to praise Him. Alive, but unable to serve Him. Alive, but unable to share His goodness. We're alive. We need fully alive. Okay? We looked at the hindrances that Christ encountered with the stone, you know, when we preached on take away the stone the other day. Things we had to remove before Christ did a work. Now there's hindrances that keep us from fully living. All right? Things we must remove. All right? He said, take him grave clothes off. Loose him. Let him go. All right? Paul tells us, now hang with me now. Paul tells us in Ephesians and the Colossians, if you read them, them are probably, I know for a fact I've read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians more than any other part of the Bible. And the reason being is because I'm a wretch.
Yeah.
I'm a heathen.
Yeah.
And I need to know how to live. And Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians show me how to live. And I need that instruction more than any, and that's why I read that, because that's where my need is. And I read the Bible not just to read it, but I read it to use it and apply it to my life that I might live the way I need to live. And I still fail, but that's where I've read more. And Paul says, as he's writing to the church, to the Christian, there's some things we ought to take off and put on, different things. In other words, we need to change clothes.
Yeah.
All right? And when we look at it, let's look here just for a minute. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There we see we put off and we take off and put on. Everybody got that? In Colossians 3, 8 through 10 says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We're supposed to put all that off. These are old clothes we're supposed to take off.
Yeah.
All right, and they put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So there's more than just one little passage, loose him and let him go, concerning what we are to put on and take off. Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
Now let's look on. There he is. There's Lazarus.
Yeah.
Huh? Now that's a real statue. That is a bronze statue from the Garden of Light, I believe, the name of it in Utah. It's got the whole life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, depicted with big bronze statues. And it's something good to look at on the computer if you want to look at it sometime. But anyway, getting rid of grave clothes. Everybody seen? That's what we look like. Back me up on Jeremy. Back me up on there. Let's look at it again. That's where we are. We're bound. Boy, that's exciting life. He's alive. Look at him. He's alive. How many people desire that? How many people line up? That's what I want. Are we understanding? Nobody's going to line up and say, yeah, that's the life I want right there. Nah, I want a little better than that. Huh? Getting rid of the grave clothes. Let's look. We're bound by the grave clothes of our past. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. Alright? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is this true or not?
Yes.
Is it true or not that He forgives your sin?
Yes.
Is it true or not that He forgives your wrongs, your mistakes, your sin? Is it true?
Yes.
Then why do you want to keep carrying it?
Amen.
That's right.
Mm.
Amen.
Why?
Yeah.
It's grave clothes. You're going to have to throw it in the trash.
Amen.
Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If anybody had a past, the Apostle Paul had a past, and he said, I'm going to have to forget those things are which behind me and go on. Can I tell you, ain't nobody here can do anything about any sin or mistake you've ever made in your past. You can't change it, you can't fix it, you can't relive it. But if it's wrong, you can confess it. And if it's sin, you confess it, then it's forgiven and go on.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
The scripture don't say to wallow in the self-pity of it. The scripture don't say to wallow in the regret of it. The scripture says that fellowship with Him, we must confess it. When we confess it, He forgives it.
Right.
He promises to forgive. He forgives it.
Amen.
He forgives it.
Yes.
He forgives it. Are you hearing me? Huh? 2 Peter 1:3-9 says, according, now listen carefully. Listen and read your scripture with me. Listen to me. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. All right, now look, for if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. When we don't enjoy the Lord, we forget we've been purged from our old sins. They're not held on your account anymore, for Christ paid them at Calvary, there with the blood that run down and was shed for me, and He washes it away, and He cleanses me with His blood. I'm free because of the blood of Christ. I've got a past of things like anybody else, and they're all equal. Ain't nobody a worse sinner than the other, and His blood washes us clean this morning. Huh? But he that lacketh all them things we just said, is blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Huh? Are we okay with forgiveness? Huh? These grave clothes hinder us so we can't see clearly. Huh? Ephesians 1:17-19 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Can I tell you, if you're not willing to take the grave clothes off your eyes, huh? If you'll read the scripture there in John chapter 11, where it says that he had grave clothes and he was bound hand and foot with a napkin over his face, so he couldn't see, he couldn't speak, he couldn't walk, he couldn't use his hands. None of them things was able to be done.
Right.
All right? We don't see the greatness of God because we got grave clothes on.
Hello.
We're looking at our grave clothes. Huh? We're looking at our failures. Listen, we all have failed.
Yeah.
We have. We've all got regrets. But listen, the Lord forgives us. And He gives us new life. And we can go on.
Yeah.
There's things to be done. There's praise to be given. There's worship to be given. Magnify the Lord with me this morning. Huh? Are you understanding this? We're not perfect. You ain't never been. You never will be in this life.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
We can't go back and relive it.
Right.
He's not going to give us. Listen, I can't sit and wish I'd zigged when I should have zagged.
Right.
I can't do that. Huh? I can't live a life of second guessing. And if I hadn't have done this, then I'd be there. If I hadn't done this, I may be somewhere worse.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I've got to trust the Lord. I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Is that not the grandest thing you ever heard?
Yeah.
Huh? What does the song say? That? And the greatest words ever said was, I forgive.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
Huh? Is that okay? Luke 24:31 says, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Can I tell you that the disciples that walked with Christ on the Emmaus Road were alive?
Yeah.
And they walked and talked with him, but they couldn't see him.
Right. That's right.
Not until some things was removed and then they knew him. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We make conformable unto his death.
Yeah.
Huh, are we okay? Huh? Psalms 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need to get the grave clothes off our eyes.
Yeah.
Huh? Because we can't see clearly. Them grave clothes keeps us from seeing clearly. We okay? Huh? How about the grave clothes hinders us so we can't walk consistently? We can't see clearly and we can't walk consistently. All right? Now, I've told y'all about this, but this relates for me. This relates. Y'all know when I had the stroke back several years ago, I had the stroke. I also had the heart attack, and they sent me for a stress test in Charleston. So I went down there, and I just had the stroke, you know. And I went down there, and they said, you need to get on that treadmill. I said, you know that I just had a stroke. Yeah. And you want me to walk that treadmill? Yeah. It's okay. I said, now you know I had a stroke. Yeah, I said, you want me to walk that treadmill? Yeah. I said, okay. Now, you know I had a stroke.
Yeah.
Yes, we know. I said, better get you some help around here then.
Yeah.
So they got on that treadmill and they turned that thing on. And y'all ever watched a one-legged man wearing a treadmill? You know what happened when they turned it on? Off there I come. Because this leg wouldn't keep up. Well, they didn't start it, just barely. I got the first couple steps, then off there I come. And the doctor turned around and said, you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. I said, have you ever had a one-legged man run a treadmill before? He turned around, he didn't have no humor. And I told him, I said, he dry, ain't he? He didn't have no the nurse, they thought it was hilarious. See, what it was, it ain't that I couldn't walk. It wasn't that I couldn't walk, but I couldn't do it consistently.
Right.
I still have trouble sometimes. I got to stop and lean against something. Sometimes I have trouble. If y'all ever notice, I stand against that rail a lot. It's because I don't know which way I'm going to wobble. Weebles wobble and they don't fall down. We okay? But do we walk? Let me ask you, do you walk consistently? Do you walk consistently in your Christian life? Why? He's faithful. Over and over. 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 He's faithful. But we don't walk because we get tangled up in our grave clothes. We get tangled up. All right? Psalms 119, 2 and 3 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Interesting, ain't it? Ain't that interesting? Huh? Are we getting it? Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Huh? Colossians 1, notice we're in Ephesians, Colossians a lot. Colossians 1, 10 through 13, that ye may what? Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Lord or unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What I'm trying to tell you is we've then been given the ability to walk consistently. But we get tangled up in our grave clothes. We get tangled up in our past and the things that we maybe have thrown away. But can I tell you, if y'all have ever been around me working a thing, I make a mess. I make a mess when I cook. I make a mess when I work. All right, I get the job done, the job will be done, but I make a mess. All right, and what I will find myself doing is walking around my own clutter. Now I've discarded it, but I ain't got it out of the way. I'm still walking around it. Are you with me? Now, it ain't that I'm dirty when I cook. I'm not dirty when I cook. But I got a mess. And instead of me taking the time to put it in the trash can, I just shove it to the side. I've discarded it. But I've not got shut of it. See, we're willing to discard our wrongs and our past, but we don't want to get shut of it. Are you following me? And it keeps us from walking consistently in step. We was watching Jimmy Carter's putting him in the Capitol the other day when Jimmy Carter died. And I marvel. I stood there and cried. I watched it on the TV and I cried. And I watched them soldiers go over and get him out of the hearse. And they moved all as one person. And they walked. And when one took a step, they all took a step. And the one in the lead, step, 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 all the way. And they got to the steps to walk up all them steps to the Capitol. And he hollered, lift, step, lift. And exactly time perfect. Perfect. The casket was constantly level. It was never tilted. The back ones carried it. It was all the way up. They was perfect in line, in step. Huh? Consistently. Yeah. On the command of the leader.
Yeah.
In step with the voice of the leader. Step.
Yeah.
I mean, they clicked it. Step. You could hear them clicking. Step. We got one this morning that says step, step, step. And boy, we'll walk consistently if we'll listen to that voice and know what them instructions say. Know what we're going to do. Them old boys was trained to do and trained to go and told what to do. Can I tell you, we've got it all. We still okay? How about these grave clothes hinder us so we can't talk correctly? We can't see clearly. We can't walk consistently. And we can't talk correctly. Okay? We still okay? Proverbs 14:25 says, a true witness delivers souls. But a deceitful witness speaketh lie. A true witness delivereth soul. I thought, man, what a statement. A true witness. I am a born again child of God, redeemed and forgiven. Is my witness true? Am I delivering soul? Is my witness true? Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Acts 1, 7 and 8 says, and he said to him, you know, we always forget verse 7. We always run straight to 8. But verse 7 is interesting. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's not in us to know all the in and outs and what's exactly going to happen, when it does and everything. It's not for us to know. He didn't say not to study it. He just said, don't fret about it. Don't get so involved that you're not what verse 8 says. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Can I tell you, you and me are going to have to tell people about Jesus. And we can't do it if we're bound up in grave clothes. And it's not just my job, it's your job.
Yeah.
It is my job because I'm a Christian, yes. But it's your job because you're a Christian. You are going to have to tell people about Jesus and get them saved. You are. You are. Huh? You still okay? 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you to a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You got to be ready to give that answer to them. And you say, well, what I preach here, when was it? Back in August, I preached on nobody's asking and we're not telling. Y'all remember the Sunday night I preached that? Nobody's asking and we're not telling. Huh? That's where we're at today. But can I tell you, if we walked consistent, they'd be asking. Huh? They'd be asking. We need to be ready to tell people. Huh? How about 2 Timothy 2? It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look here at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We have a command to commit the things we know and have heard in that Bible.
Right.
That we commit them, that we give it to someone else who shall be able to teach others also. And thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Listen, it behooves every one of us to pass this thing along.
Yes, sir.
To pass this faith along. We got to pass it on. But we don't sometimes because we're tangled up in our grave clothes. We got to pass it on. We pass it on to our children, pass it on to our grandchildren. Like, hey, listen, my children are saved. Do I quit? No, because you got children. And I got friends, and you got friends. We got family. There's no stopping. Huh? We still okay?
Yeah.
Getting rid of grave clothes. So I can see clearly, walk consistently, and talk correctly. Can you remember that? Huh? We all right? John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Coming alive, fully alive. See, alive ain't it. Coming fully alive. Let me ask you this morning. Sure, go to the piano and just play Jesus Paid It All. We put it page 5 or 6, whatever it is. I don't remember exactly. Let me ask you something this morning. You're alive. If you're saved, you're alive. And you've got talents and abilities. But you've been beat. You've been wounded. You've been left for dead. You've been hurt. It's happened. Where we are. But he says, whatever your name is, come forth. Come forth. See, he calls you to come forth. See, he then told us to take his stones away and to come forth. Now, loose him. We get tangled up in them old grave clothes. Sign the paper. Get out the t-shirt. Done been there, done that. Done messed up. Done made wrong decisions. Yeah. But how about we just go ahead and kick him grave clothes plumb to the side? Can you picture? Yeah, I showed you a picture of Lazarus. Can you picture him coming out of that tomb like that? Can you? I mean, would that not be a sight? Him bound up like that, trying to get out. The rock was out of the way. I mean, that would be a sight, but him old stinking clothes. Here he is. He done awake now. Man, that smell is me. Huh? Got them unwrapping. We need unwrapped this morning. Close the past. Quit letting them win. Can I tell you that the enemy wins by calling up your past? He does. But they're forgiven. Are you hearing me? It's forgiven. It's okay this morning. It's okay, boy. You stood and testified about that old fishing boat and running from the call of God. And next thing you know, home's in trouble, beating around, and it's gone. He don't dig at it. You do. He ain't never said a thing about it. Since that night long ago, you cleaned up. He ain't said, he ain't mentioned one thing about that. Yeah. Sometimes you'll get stuff out of the trash show and get all tangled up in them. We will. Are you hearing me this morning? Who cares about other people? Lord, if I cared about what other people thought, do you think I'd be here this morning preaching? The gold, the blood has washed me clean. Have I learned? Well, I'll always remember, but I don't have to get tangled up in the clothes. I'll always remember my shortcoming, but I'll never get tangled up in the clothes if I don't drag him out of the trash can. Are you getting it this morning? Lucy. You need to turn loose this morning. If you do, you come on the cross. Christ. If you're not saved, you come on and get saved this morning. If you ain't right, come on and get right. Need prayer, come on, we'll pray with you. We'll go home, we'll go home. Let's stand together. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. We can't do none of this without you. Lord, we're as helpless as we can be. Without your voice, without your power, we can't do not one thing. But thank you that you enable us. Thank you that you help us. Thank you that you don't throw us away. Thank you that you command for us to be loose, that we be free. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sure do love you. Help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.